Today is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 5, Psalm 136, verses 1 through 9, and the gospel according to Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Today's message is titled, Come to His Love. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning at verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Here ends the reading from the prophet Isaiah, Psalm 136, beginning at verse 1. And I invite you to join in, if you like, each time I say his love endures forever. Please join with me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. His love endures forever. Who made the great lights. His love endures forever. The sun to govern the day. His love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night. His love endures forever. I encourage you this afternoon to read all of Psalm 136 to hear how his love endures forever. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus had heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. They answered, "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is your glory and worship that you should be praised, and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther and our prayer. The last chapter. The last chapter of the sacred scriptures, the Bible, is chapter 22. Chapter 22 of the book of Revelation. And in that sacred writing, you will find these words written down for us and for all generations. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him who has ears, and let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Whoever is thirsty, come. Whoever is thirsty, come and take the free gift of water of life. These words sound very familiar to what the Lord God gave to Isaiah to write down that we heard this morning from Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning of verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. And eat what is good. And your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Revelation chapter 22, Isaiah 55, written hundreds of years apart. Isaiah was written about 700 years before Christ. And Revelation was written at the end of John's life around 90 to 95 A.D. So it's about 800 years apart that these words were written with the invitation to come being given. Thirsty, come and drink. These were written with the invitation to come being given. Thirsty, come and drink. Freely drink. For that is the meaning of come and buy without money and without cost. At the consummation of the age, when Christ is enthroned on high and all have gathered as Revelation foretells, the water of life will be freely offered, just as in Isaiah chapter 55. The Lord is indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever, as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I find this verse in Isaiah 55 very appealing. It's the first part of verse 3. Give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. Hear the Lord God that your soul may live. Listen and respond to what the Lord God is saying so that you would literally live. Not may live, but live. Definitely live. The English from the Hebrew word order. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and shall live your soul. It's definitely, definitely live. Not may live, but will live. Hear and shall live your soul. As the great crowds were gathering, and they're having a hard time swallowing Jesus' teaching, his disciple crowd has grown and grown and grown. But then Jesus started teaching the hard teachings, and the greater part of the crowd of disciples started departing as Jesus was speaking about being the bread of life. As the many were deserting, Jesus turns and asks the 12, "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Simon Peter answers, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that You are the Holy One of God. The consistency of message that is found in the sacred Scriptures, though separated by hundreds of years or more, and written by different authors, yet the thread runs through it all. It's all consisting, amazing, words of life. Words of life they be, if only one truly hears and heeds. Isaiah writes about the everlasting covenant, the Lord's faithful love promised to David. That covenant will be revealed in the shed blood of Christ. For Jesus says on the night He was betrayed, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood shed for you." It's written about, recorded in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The loving promise given to David will be revealed in the Son, Jesus. As He lifts the cup, that cup from the Passover, that Passover remembrance of the events of Egypt and the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost and lintel. The cup is now the cup of the blood of the new covenant in Christ. And His blood will be poured out on the cross for the forgiveness of sins. Are you understanding that thread that runs through all of the sacred Scripture? Are you seeing how much you are truly loved by the Lord your God? Give thanks, for His love endures forever. All through Psalm 136 is the running reminder, His love endures forever. It can also be translated as His loving kindness is everlasting. It can be translated as His mercy endures forever. For the Hebrew word hesed, it expresses a covenant reality, but sometimes it's hard to translate. But it's a covenant reality because God established a covenant. And that very covenant that Lord God will uphold no matter what. God established the covenant. God will uphold the covenant no matter what. It's not based on what we do. It's not based on how we behaved. But it's established and based on the nature of the living God. Established in God's nature of compassion, mercy, loving kindness. In short, His great love for us. God established the covenant out of love for us. And the Lord God will steadfastly uphold the covenant. Hence, there is that relationship of compassion, mercy, loving kindness for us, and will always be there for us. With the invitation, come, hear, and respond. Always the invitation to come, hear, and shall your soul live. Psalm 136, beginning of verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To Him alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by His understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. You see how that builds up, how that keeps building up. His love endures forever. All these different things God has done. And the psalm continues to recount the great deeds of the Lord. Deeds all done as an outflow of the covenantal loving kindness the Lord God has for us. Yet pay great attention to how the psalm begins. English from the Hebrew word order. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for good He is. The English word order is, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for good He is, for His mercy endures. First, the basis of all that follows is the Lord. In the Hebrew, it is the tetragrammaton. The tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton is the Hebrew four-letter words. Yod, He, Vav, He. YHWH. It is the name of God and not spoken by the Hebrew people. It's the tetragrammaton. Yod, He, Vav, He. It's translated as Lord. It is the name of God. The YHWH making clear the one being spoken about, this one is good. Good in all the fullness of what good means. God is good. The Lord is good. The Hebrew word translated as ever, it means long duration, antiquity, futurity. From Strong's exhaustive concordance, it also has the meaning of always, ancient time, continuance, eternal, everlasting, and so forth. Verse 2, we hear God of gods. Hebrew, the word is Elohim, Elohim. Elohim, Elohims. You can see the nuance in Hebrew is there. It doesn't quite come across in English. Verse 3, to the Lord of Lords, the Hebrew is all done, all done. So you have the word Lord in verse 3, you have the word Lord in verse 1, but it's two very different Hebrew words. Verse 1, it's the tetragrammaton, Yod, Ha, Va, Ha. In verse 3, it's Auden, Audens. English. English is unable oftentimes to translate these nuances that are present in the Hebrew. Does great wonders. His understanding made the heavens. It spread the earth upon the waters. Made the great lights that govern the day and govern the night. All these things were done, showing His love endures forever. Creation put into place so that we would have a place to be. This is so great. It is the love of the Lord for us. This love for us is seen in the Son's great love for us. Matthew 14, Jesus just wants to get away. He just wants to get away and be alone with His disciples. The reason is Herod Antipas killed John the Baptizer. On his birthday, Herodias' daughter danced in such a manner to bring an oath from Herod to give her whatever she wanted. Herodias would finally be rid of John, who had been saying, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Remember, Herodias was Philip's wife. Philip was the brother of Herod, Herod Antipas. It's written in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 21. If a man marries his brother's wife, it is an act of impurity. He has dishonored his brother. They will be childless. Herod marries Herodias. It was a huge scandal. And John the Baptizer was vocally reminding all of this. And John was killed. John's disciples brought this news to Jesus. This is the event that happened just before our reading in chapter 14 of our gospel today. Chapter 14 begins with the events of John being killed by Herod. Now here in chapter 14, John is dead. Jesus hears the news and He wants to withdraw to a private place by boat to be alone and also with His disciples alone. He just wants to get away to a place. And getting away to places in the sacred scripture, God oftentimes visits those seeking Him in those away places. Jacob in the wilderness wrestled with God and was given the name Israel. Moses in the wilderness and met the Lord God at the burning bush. David's years in the wilderness in encounters with God. Jesus beginning His public ministry after 40 days, where? in the wilderness. Matthew 14, at the news of John's death, Jesus desires wilderness time. The crowd got wind of where Jesus was going. They saw the boat head out and they rushed ahead. Instead of an empty place, a wilderness place to just relax and get to be with God, a place to be alone with the Lord God, the banks of the shore were filled with people. It says there's a large crowd. Instead of frustration, and honestly, I'd probably express frustration. That would be my natural response. I just want to get away. And I would get upset. How about you? If you just want to get away and your plans are thwarted by a crowd. But we see in Jesus, instead of frustration, what we see in Jesus expressed is compassion. From the deepest part of himself. That's that Greek word translated compassion. It means comes from the deepest part. Compassion. Jesus flowed with compassion. Or in other words, his love endures forever. Indeed, his love endures forever. Jesus went about that time there, healing the sick, hour after hour after hour, healing the sick. It's getting late. Evening is coming, so the disciples come to Jesus to remind him of the time. It's late. This place is desolate. It's a wilderness. There's no resources to care for the people. While this time, while it's still some daylight, send them away. You know, it's for their own good. You send them away to the nearby village marketplaces to get their own food. I mean, sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Send them away. They get their own food. While there's still light in the day, let them get out of the wilderness to a village marketplace. Doesn't that sound reasonable? Isaiah 55, beginning of verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. Psalm 136, verse 16. To him who led his people through the desert, his love endures forever. And what did the Lord God do for his people as he led them through the desert? Daily provided manna, bread. Now, when Jesus said to his disciples, you feed, can you imagine the looks of incredulity? I mean, the shock. Can you see their jaws dropping in awe and amazement? We give them something to eat? I mean, you can see the thousands. We? At a Promise Keepers event in Columbus, Ohio, in Nationwide Arena, there's about 18,000 men had gathered. I was one amongst the many. When lunchtime came, I was wondering, how was this going to work? 18,000 gathered, and a boxed lunch was included in the event fee. As the crowd moved out of the building and down the steps and across the street to the park, table after table after table were set up in row after row and row and row. And on top of those tables, stacked high and wide, were boxes and boxes and boxes of box lunches. I mean, it was very efficient. I was surprised. You grab your drink, you grab your box, and you go and eat. And the park was right there. I mean, very efficient. I was surprised. The feeding of the 18,000, the logistics were well planned. The disciples had none of this. You feed them. They see the crowd. They could count. And they knew, yes, they knew, it's impossible. It's impossible to feed them. I really wonder what was the frame of mind they were in when they said, Matthew 14, verse 17, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. Now the Greek expresses the situation even more desperately. It begins this way, nothing we have here, if not 5 loaves and 2 fish. They start out with nothing we have here, if not 5 loaves and 2 fish. So the 5 loaves and 2 fish, it's really sort of like an afterthought. Why? I mean, what's this? Nothing we have, if not 5 loaves and 2 fish. To this, Jesus says, bring to me here them. Jesus directed the crowds to sit down and look to heaven and blessed those 5 loaves and 2 fish. Blessed all they had to offer there. There was nothing more. Jesus looked to heaven and blessed them and broke them. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Make the connection. Matthew 14 and Matthew 26. The taking of bread, the blessing of bread, the breaking of bread. See how the crowd in the wilderness was fully satisfied with plenty left over. And see your soul be fully satisfied in the eating of the bread, which is the body of Christ. See the physical reality of Matthew chapter 14, of the physical loaves of bread, physically feeding the multitudes. How much more of the spiritual reality, "This is my body broken for you." The reality will feed your spirit into eternal life in Christ. The physical is a foreshadow of the spiritual reality, which is a greater reality and a larger truth. Christ broke the bread and fed the 5,000. Christ's body broken truly does feed you. Matthew 14, beginning of verse 19. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. 12 baskets of leftovers. This is an incredible miracle of the highest order. It's inconceivable in all its details. What did the disciples experience as the loaves kept going on and on and on after breaking off a piece and handing a portion to each person? I mean, what did the disciple experience? Breaking off a piece, handing it, breaking off a piece, and break. Can you get the idea of that? How incredible this. And the fish. Were the fish broken in half, and here's the tail broken in half, here's the head broke. I mean, how did that happen? But it really happened. It's inconceivable how it came to be, but it did. How was each portion given? What remained in the disciples' hands to give for the next person? Can you see this indelible image in the minds of the disciples? This unforgettable experience to the disciples. All ate and were satisfied. How can this be? Psalm 136, beginning at verse 3. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To whom alone does great wonders. His love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens. His love endures forever. The one who made the heavens can make loaves and fish multiply. From Isaiah 55, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. The creating power of God through Christ Jesus is real. And the new life in Christ is just as real too. Jesus is the bread of life, and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to satisfy your soul's longing is real. Forgiveness of sins is real. All this is reality and has happened in you. All this reality just waiting to happen in the life of a person who will come to his love. In a show of great mercy and great compassion, the multitudes were fed. And in this manner, a foreshadow of Christ feeding his church through his body and blood. Just as the thousands were fed and fully satisfied in the wilderness years ago, your soul and the soul of everyone who eats this bread and drinks from this cup, the body of Christ, the church, will be satisfied. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Isaiah 55, verse 3. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promise to David. The everlasting covenant was made in the broken body of Christ on the cross. His body, his blood, the new covenant freely offered to you. Come to Jesus, the crucified and risen one. Come to his love and live eternally. Amen and amen.